Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We give God the highest praise this morning because there is none like him, no one like our Father God. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness. We got to give God thanks and we got to give God praise. Singing to the Lord a new song. Hallelujah. For he has done marvelous things. God is so good. And I can say with complete clarity that he loves me and he loves you. And he wants the best for both of us. He wants us to be the best us we can be because, why? We are his children. And when we are our Father's children, and we are our Father, the one Father, he loves us without condition. He loves us with the love of Jesus. He loves us completely, thorough and thoroughly. So tell God this morning, just say thank you. Thank you, Lord. And watch your day just go better. Every morning, as you know when you're with me, I just like to tell the Lord, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed. I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed. Can you say it with me? I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed to be a child of God because I know where my help comes from. Give God some high praise this morning. Just say hallelujah. I'm looking at my little pillow that I just love, and on it, it says, thankful, grateful, blessed. That's who we are, thankful, grateful, and blessed to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. And the word that God gave me this morning, you know, I had planned on a psalm, which is coming out of our lesson this morning, the 104th Psalm, verse 35, sinners be consumed from those. And the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. That's what I had made plans to have as a title this morning. And then God sent me to our other word this morning, which is coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And it deals with speaking in tongues. And the word that came was, what you talking about, Willie? Are you talking to me? And I thought, wow, what a title. What you talking about, Willis? Are you talking to me? Because I have been in churches where all of a sudden people start speaking in tongues, and I'm like, what in the world? And then the music starts to playing, and the folks get to up and dancing and shouting and running around, and I'm like, total confusion. This is when I was young and didn't understand the speaking in tongues, and because I grew up in an AME church, I grew up in, you know, the Salvation Army ministry. They didn't do that kind of stuff. You know, the Salvation Army now, they would get pretty happy. You know, we'd sing with tambourines and, you know, have trumpets and music, and it would be beautiful, but, and folks might get up and dance a minute, but it wasn't like certain churches where folks fall out, chairs get moved, the pastor say dance, and everybody jumps up and starts to dance, and you're feeling like an outsider because you don't know what they're talking about. And then all of a sudden somebody starts to babble, and you're like, what in the world is going on in this place? And you don't go back because you don't understand it. And as we were, I was studying this lesson, the one thing that Paul talks about is that in tongues, are you speaking directly with God? Because with you and God, nobody should know the language but God. But when you're speaking and you're screaming out in tongues and you're talking on to other people and you're speaking in tongues and there's no interpretation, it sounds like you're babbling. And that's a turnoff. It irks a soul when you're just going off and on and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And I actually went to a class, and it was talking about speaking in tongues, and this pastor actually said, and it just turned me off completely, that, you know, to speak in tongues, you just start off with a ah-ah-ah-ah-ah-ah-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ah-ah-ah-ah-ah-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And I'm like, Abba is Father. We know that. And if you're saying Father, others should understand you. But when you're going with ah-ba-ba-ba-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-a-a-a-a-a-ah-ah-ah-ah, whoa, wait a minute now. And then you hear certain words repeated by others that they've heard from somebody else. And, you know, it's one of those things where we as men and women of God have got to be very careful when we start speaking in tongues. I had never spoken tongues in my life until I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And it was at a choir rehearsal. And it was, we were singing songs by William McDowell, Wrap Me in Your Arms. Oh, God. Into your arms. And when you start to sing that song, the Holy Spirit hits you. William McDowell is an anointed man of God. I listened to a pod where he gave his testimony, and I've seen him in concert, and it's like you fall out. Everybody on the floor practically after his concert, because it's not just a concert. It's a service to God. And I remember listening to his testimony and how he got to where he is. And shout out to Apostle Evangelist Melissa Brown, who was my classmate in high school and who was his piano teacher, because also anointed woman of God poured that anointing into this young man. So shout out to Apostle Prophetess Melissa Brown, as well as to Pastor McDowell. And, you know, when I listened to that song, we were singing it, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came in like a rushing wind. It was like a day of Pentecost. And people in the room just tears. And then all of a sudden, I started talking to God in tongues. I couldn't stop. I spoke to God in tongues at rehearsal, in my car, in my home, on my knees. I could not stop. I could not stop the tears. I could not stop the speaking. I could not stop because I was having an encounter with God. But it was not for anybody else. It was for me. For me speaking with the Father in his holy language. And it was like, as I was speaking, I could understand the words in my mind, what I was saying, but coming out of my mouth was a different language. Because it was not for anybody but me. All the other folks in the room who were speaking in tongues, it was not for anyone but them and God, because they were having an encounter with God and asking him, wrap me in your arms. And when we go into that place, we got to know who we're going into that place with. We have to be very careful when speaking in tongues that there's an interpreter, or you're quietly speaking in tongues, you and God on that, because you can turn people off. You can turn them off, and they will not come back to your church, because they will say, your church is crazy. Your church is different. Your church is weird. And you don't want to have that in your congregation and be spoken of that way. We have to be very careful. What you talking about with me? Are you talking to me? Because I don't understand the words coming out of your mouth. You've got to be very careful. But anyway, let's get into our prayer. Let's get into our words. We are finishing up the Song of Solomon. Our psalm for this today is the 104th Psalm, verses 31 through 35. Our proverb is Proverbs chapter 24, verses 21 through 22. And our main word today is coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So let's get into the last of our beloved. Like I said, this is one of them things for husbands and wives. So we finish it up this morning. My beloved, the beloved, how beautiful are your sandals? Come on now. Girlfriend, y'all better get your legs, get your feet, get that Vaseline on them ankles and toes, and on them oscillators. You know, we got to make sure that our feet look real good. So we got to come to our beloved looking good. So let's go back a minute, and we got to pray. Thank you, God. I would be remiss, even though I prayed this morning. Let me pray with you. Father God in heaven, I thank you for this mighty word, and I thank you for speaking into me to change the topic, because you want us to do it right. We don't want any souls lost because they think we're babbling. We don't want any souls lost because they think we're faking and playing church. Father God, I lift up this word this morning that it touches someone's heart, someone's mind, and someone's spirit. Lord God, let the words that come from Dr. Stanley edify and educate as we listen to his life, as we read and listen to his life lessons. Let them permeate our hearts and minds. But you gave him wisdom, Lord. And all we can do is say thank you for the time we had with Dr. Stanley. And we ask you, Lord God, to continue watching over and blessing his family as they move forward with you as taught by him, God. And Lord God, I pray for the continuation and growth of In Touch Ministry, that they will continue touching the hearts, minds, and spirits as well, God. And Father God, as I go through this word today, I pray for husbands and wives. Those that are struggling, Lord God, I pray that you bring them together in love and in unity, that they will know they are your children and that you created marriage for husbands and wives. You created marriage for the production of children. You created marriage as a love relationship you have given to each and every one of us. You created Eve from the rib of Adam so that he would not be alone. And Lord God, we ask that you continue to bless relationships, that husbands will honor their wives and wives will honor their husbands, and that when they need a little spite in their life, but they will not go to videos of pornography and all the stuff that is of the world, but that they will go to your word, for they will see love in its purest form, love for you, and love for a husband to his beloved. Father God, let your words permeate hearts, minds, and spirit. And again, Father God, as I ask every day, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. This I pray in the name of the matchless Savior, my friend, the love of my life. Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. Giving honor to God, and let's get into this word so we don't miss anything. And it says, the beloved, how beautiful are your feet. Curves of your thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a skillful workman. Your navel is a rounded goblet, and it lacks no blended beverage. Your waist is a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Your two breasts are like two fawn twins of a gazelle. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes like the pools in Hashbon by the gate of Beth-Rabim. Your nose is like the tower of Lebanon, which looks towards Damascus. Your head crowns you like Mount Carmel. And your hair, and the hair of your head is like purple. A king is held captive by your tresses. How fair and how pleasant you are, O love, with your delight. This stature of yours is like a palm tree, and your breath is like its clusters. I said I would go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of its branches. Let now your breath be like clusters of the vine, the fragrance of your breath like apples, and the root of your mouth like the best wine. The Shulamite, the wine goes down smoothly for my beloved, moving gently to the lips of speakers. I am my beloved, and his desire is toward me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth to the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early in the vineyards. Let us see if the vine has budded, whether the grape blossoms are open and the pomegranates are in bloom. There I will give you my love. The mandrakes give off a fragrance, and at our gates are pleasant fruits, a manner new and old, which I have laid up for you, my beloved. Oh, that you were like my brother who nursed at my mother's breast. If I should find you outside, I would kiss you. I would not be despised. I would lead you and bring you into the house of my mother, she who used to instruct me. I would cause you to drink of my pomegranate. To the daughters of Jerusalem, his left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraces me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, do not stir up nor awaken love unless until it pleases. A relative, who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I awakened you under the apple tree. There your mother brought you forth. There she who bore you brought you forth. The Shulamite to her beloved. Let me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. The Shulamite's brother, we have a little sister and she has no breast. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she is spoken for? If she is a wall, we will build upon her a battlement of silver. And if she is a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. The Shulamite, I am a wall and my breast like towers. Then I became in his eyes as one who found peace. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Ammon. He leased the vineyard to keepers. Everyone was to bring for its fruit 1,000 silver coins to Solomon. My own vineyard is before me. You, O Solomon, may have 1,000, and those who tend its fruit 200. The beloved, you who dwell in the gardens, the companion listening for your voice, let me hear it. The Shulamite, make haste, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of spices. Woo! All righty then. And it says, the Song of Solomon 86, set me as a seal upon your heart. True devotion, Dr. Stanley tells us, begins in the heart and works its way out in loving expression involving the rest of the body. Spouses want and need all of each other, and God wants the same thing. God wants us to love each other. It's not about control. It's about a partnership of love. And as we go into a meditation word, this is what the Bible says about sweet meditation, and we'll get into that after our psalm. And our psalm this morning is a continuation of yesterday's psalm, which is the 104th psalm, starting at verse 31. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his work, trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That was my word, what I thought I was going to have this morning. It touched my heart. And as Dr. Stanley tells us what the Bible says about meditation. And it says, do you ever feel like you just don't know what to express to God? Like a one-way call, you're not sure whether God is being silent or if he is just completely disconnected. You want to please him, so you avoid all the religious things you know to say. Yet somehow you know deep within you know that your prayer life is not as it's supposed to be. Although God gladly welcomes you into his presence and hears all of your requests, it's always important to be respectful when praying to him. Ecclesiastes 5:1 says, and 1 and 2 says, walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear. Do not be rash with your mouth and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Let your words be few. Folks, praying and praying and praying, to the point where it gets to, okay, then it becomes repetition. That's one of you. It becomes repetition. They prayed and said everything they needed to say. But then because they're in front of my audience, then they start going on. And then again, just like speaking in tongues when no one can understand you, it becomes babbling. And God wants earnest, honest prayer. You say what you got to say, and then you listen. God doesn't need hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of you saying the same thing over and over and over. Just say what you need to say. But above all, if you're going to spend hours and hours on your knees praying, say thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm grateful, God. I love you, Lord. Whatever it is you need me to do, God, show me and be quiet. Sometimes we just need to be on our knees quiet. Say what you got to say and listen. Listen, listen, listen. That's what God keeps putting in my spirit. Listen. instead of going to God with your grocery list of requests, what, and I like to say going to God like he's an ATM, what would really please him would be for you to approach his throne with the desire to listen. Is that difficult to do? Then picture God on his majestic heavenly throne. Imagine the cherubims are praising him and the saints worshiping at his feet. Envision the stars rushing to do his will and the earth as his footstool. His wisdom, power, and love are laid out before you, not in a philosophical sense, but rather you can see the reality of them in a million different ways. You're not casually chatting with the town grocer. You're on your face before the living God. Part of the problem is that we forget who God really is. If we had a medical or mechanical issue, we'd seek out the advice of an expert in that field. We would listen carefully to their wisdom about what to do to rectify our situation. Yet God is the creator and sustainer of the universe, and when we pray, we spend very little time listening. It's no wonder that we often miss the life-giving counsel that we most need. Therefore, when you pray today, don't be full of words, rather, as Habakkuk 2:20 instructs, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. Quietly seek God's wisdom. He delights in teaching you how to have a deeper relationship with him, how to serve him with honor and strength. Trust him to show you his ways and to answer everything that concerns you, and just listen. Hearing the words that Almighty God is sharing with you and the secrets he's revealing to you, then you can know that your meditation is truly deep in, and he will make you glad. Hallelujah. We got to learn how to listen. As we speak the word of God, we got to listen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord today. Praise the Lord today. And listen. Listen to what he has to say to you. Listen to what all of us, and all we have to do is listen. Proverbs 24, verses 21 through 22. My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those given to change, but their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin those two can bring. We got to make sure, though, that when we listen, God, thank you, that we're listening to his voice, because the enemy will try his best to get in, and I can tell you, you will know when you have heard the enemy's voice, because whatever it is he told you to do will not work well for you. It will put you back instead of move you forward. Don't listen. Don't listen. Don't listen. Don't listen. Because he is a deceiver. All we have to do is ask you. Getting to our main word for this morning, and all I can say is, it is a great word. Again, what you're talking about, Willis, are you talking to me? Let's talk about tongues this morning and speaking in them. And I am getting my other Bible because I want to make sure we got this thing down. And so there will be a little bit some other stuff. So I'm going to be coming this morning out of King James. New King James, but I will be referring to my NIV as well. And it says, pursue love and desire, spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. But he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. But no one understands him. Come on now. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. But he who prophesies whose property is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. You know, a few weeks ago, we had a guest who came and he prayed and he spoke in tongues. And then he stopped after he had spoken. He came back and he interpreted everything that was said. God edified the church through his speaking in tongues because of the interpretation. And it says, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, that what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophecy, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make it a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. Therefore, it may be so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without a significance. You may be speaking in tongues, and you may be speaking to one person in the congregation who understands what you're saying, who can say, I understand the word. I understand the words coming out of your mouth. And yes, I know what you're talking about with, because that word that you're given in tongues is for them. And they will stand up and interpret for the congregation what was spoken. But if you're just having a conversation between you and God, the only interpretation is God interpreting it, because you are speaking to him. And it goes on to tell us in this word, you know, Paul breaks it down very well. And he says, therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Anything we do, we should do for the edification of the church. It's not about us. It's about the church and the growth of the church. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. But if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. I will, and as we go back to a song, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. You know, that's what Paul is breaking it down to. I will sing with the spirit, and I will otherwise. If you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? But you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Oh, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. And as Dr. Stanley breaks down this word for us, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. God intends that we grow in grace together. We are to learn about him together. We are to serve others together. Why together? Because unity of heart and action best shows the power of God's love. I'm going to read that again. Unity of heart and action best shows the power of God's love. Unity. We can't have churches splitting down the middle. He said, she said, woo-woo said. We can't do that. We can't allow the enemy to come in and break up what God has put together. God creates churches for his edification, to grow and for the saints to grow. We don't want anybody to die in sin because they never got a word from God. I pray that this word that has been spoken from the word of God has touched the heart, has touched someone's mind. If you would like to use the call-in number instead of social media, the number to call every day, except the Saturday, unless spoken otherwise, Sunday through Friday, 7 a.m., I'm going to be on my assignment, putting God's word into the atmosphere. And I pray that it touches somebody's heart. You can disagree with me. That's all right. But it's what you're disagreeing about, God's word or my word. Let God's word be the course of action that you seek, that you follow his word, not mine, but God's. And it says in 1 Corinthians 14:19, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Originally seen at the empowering of the church at Pentecost, the ability to speak diverse languages, early church, could spread the gospel all over the world, Acts 2:4. Yet what Paul is speaking of here is that many of the believers in Corinthians were imitating other religions by babbling meaningless. There it is. What they were doing was neither of the spirit or edifying to other believers. Rather, they were trying to show off their super spirituality. Yet as Paul reiterated to them, the real power of the spirit is seen in the teaching and maturing of the church. The teaching and the maturing of the church. And all I can say, this is me, I can all say, I'm Pastor Bridget says, don't go speaking in tongues unless it's to edify or if it's personal. Go to the altar or lift your hands up and speak to God in your voice to him. It doesn't have to be loud as you walk around babbling in the church, because you will turn people off. We've got to be careful when it comes to speaking in tongues. As I said, my first encounter, true encounter, was just with a song that hit my spirit and was like fire in a room full of singers and musicians. And there was not one person that was not on their knees in prayer, personally speaking with God, each in their language to them. With tears, with hope, with love. I will never forget that encounter, because it was my first encounter. And my first encounter with the Holy Spirit was because I was singing to the Lord. And he heard me. And he knew what I was talking about. And he knew the words that were coming out of my mouth. Got to trust God. We've got to believe in him. We can't get caught up in what the world has to say. We can't be judging Judy. There's only one Judge Judy. and she's not like God. But we want to be judging Judy and judge everybody for their sins, not looking at our own. I cannot judge a soul because God knows I got my own mess to clean up. We've got to start speaking truth. And the truth we speak is the love of God. God's love is the love we need. And I speak this word because this is my assignment. And I can only tell God, thank you, because this word is for all of us. It's always for me. And as I go to my other study words, and it talks about chapter 14, it says, make prophecy so, what makes prophecy so important? And it says, prophecy is a message that edifies, comforts, or encourages the church. Since Paul places a premium on strengthening the church, he values prophecy highly. Prophecy is understandable to the mind, unlike speaking in tongues. Prophecy is not just the foretelling of future events. In fact, predicting the future is only a small part of prophecy. In the Bible, like Old Testament prophecy, New Testament prophecy was intended to challenge and strengthen the church. People see various expressions of prophecy in preaching, teaching, and spontaneous exhortation, among others. These activities involve foretelling. And it says this, it says, how does the gift of tongues help anyone? The person speaking in tongues speaks to God. So the speaker edifies himself or herself with this gift of the Holy Spirit, gaining in a supernatural way greater assurance of God's love and power. In a related way, the church can be edified by an utterance in tongues, just as by a prophecy, if it can be interpreted. There's that word. For the congregation, some things that are real are beyond the rational mind. A similar passage, for instance, says that the Spirit communicates our needs to God through groans that cannot be expressed in ordinary speech. And then the next question from verse 5 is, why does Paul wish everyone would speak in tongues? Paul's statement doesn't promote tongues over other gifts, but he does affirm its legitimacy in worship as long as it is correctly used. Paul himself spoke in tongues, but he preferred the gift of prophecy since all could readily understand the message. Was Paul engaging in spiritual one-upmanship? Yes. Paul was skillfully in using rhetoric. Here, he was outdoing the Corinthian opponents on their own terms. They bragged about speaking in tongues. Paul, perhaps with tongue in cheek, claimed that he spoke in tongues even more, but his emphasis was that it would be even better to prophesy. In a similar manner, Paul later confronted boasters with his own boasting, only to conclude that all boasting is futile and beside the point. 2 Corinthians 11 and 12. And it says, what do tongues signify to unbelievers? This is a difficult passage. It hinges on the word sign. There is a tendency to read sign as something positive, a promising or appealing message. But it also can mean a potent of judgment, as Isaiah 23, which we'll be getting to on tomorrow, where we start in the book of Isaiah. Since tongues may be a sign of judgment to unbelievers because only believers have the gift of tongues, prophecy may be a sign of judgment to believers because the prophet may speak warning or correction to the church. And as we get into the last part of, should women continue to be silent in the church today? Because we know that there are those out there in the world that feel women should be quiet, they shouldn't do anything. And I'm going to say this. If women didn't do anything in the church, there would be things never getting done. And I'm going to speak it like the truth that it is. Yes, there are many churches that are full of men, but the majority of churches are full of women and children. And men are scared. There are men that don't want to be under a woman pastor, so they won't go to that church. And then there are women that don't want to be under a woman pastor, and they won't go to that church. So that church normally is a church full of women and children. And believe me, they are doing a lot of work. I go to such a church. We have men in our church. God knows we need more. But I tell you, we get things done. And we get a lot of things done with our small church full of women and children. But our children work for God, and the women work for God. And the men that we have, our deacons, they work diligently for the Lord. Teaching, preaching, and ministering. Teaching, preaching, and doing what God calls them to do. But I tell you this, don't get caught up in that crazy hype. Oh, well, women should be still and be quiet. Okay. Then don't ask the women to cook. Don't ask the women to be over the women's this and that. Don't ask the women to do anything. But be quiet. Because then you're going against God. God didn't tell women to be quiet. If you read it thoroughly, our Paul said that. And as he said, should women continue to be silent in the church? Some believe this passage affirms a God-ordained order that is to be the basis for administration and authority. In this view, gender-based role distinction in the church are consistent with Paul's command that wives submit to their husbands in the home. No, in the home. Come on now. And in the church. But again, wives submitting to their husbands. Regardless of one's particular cultures, others think Paul was being sensitive to the social order in Corinth. The others have suggested that Paul was trying to curtail the disruptive practices of particular individuals, not forbidding women from speaking altogether. And a few have speculated that Paul is quoting one of several Corinthian slogans with which he disagreed. For example, 1 Corinthians 5:12. In any case, Paul is clearly forbidding the disorderly, there is the word, disorderly speaking indicated in these verses. The article, there's an article that I would have to read on that. But I just tell you this, and this is what it says. In fact, he did permit women to even prophesy. Various attempts to accommodate these two passages have proposed that verses 30, 40, 35 were added by a scribe. Women prophesied only outside the meeting. Paul forbid indiscreet speech by women. Paul was quoting opponents but did not endorse their teaching. Women and men could prophesy, but only men could judge and verify prophecy. Women were forbidden to ask disruptive questions in church since they were less educated. Paul urged the church to respect cultural practices regarding women in public so it could remain effective in reaching people for Christ. And the thing is that it was a cultural thing. It wasn't Paul saying women should not preach, women should not pastor. That's not what he was saying. Paul had to, you know, you think about today, there are cultures where women are subservient. And a woman to get up and tell men in a particular setting would cause so much disruption that she could get killed. But here in our nation, women are preaching, women are pastoring, women are keeping the church body and souls being saved. We've got to all come together in love. All this other stuff is not of God. God does not want us all crazy active. He wants us loving each other, caring about each other and wanting to be best, the best us we can be. And before we get out this morning, again, thank you all for listening in. Those that listen live, those that listen later. But this word is important. You know, be careful when you start to speak in tongues and think. Don't babble. Don't just be saying what you heard Sister Susie say, our prophetess say, our deacon say, our prophet say, our pastor say, and you just repeating what you heard through rote. That's not God. You got to be careful. And our prayer for this morning, as we wrap up with the right path, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps, in the 9th, New King James. God of all my days, you hold the keys to every problem that presents itself in my life. I don't have to worry when I am walking with you. Though I make plans, I know that the actual steps are directed by you. For that, I'm thankful. Without your wisdom to guide me, I would be lost in the details of my own strategies, which fall short every time. Amen. Whether my dreams come true or all my plans fall apart, you remain the same. Your delight in me has nothing to do with my success or output. It has everything to do with you who created me to be, and I am not what I do for a living. It may be a reflection, but it certainly is where I find my worth. My worth is found in my relationship with you. Lead me on. I trust in your direction for my life. And the question for this morning, as we get ready to wrap up, is this. When things don't turn out the way you hope, do you trust that the Lord has a plan? Again, when things don't turn out the way you'd hoped, do you trust the Lord has a plan? And the answer is yes. I trust him. With my whole heart, I trust God. Because I made so many mistakes that all I can do is depend on him. Are you leaning and depending on Jesus this morning? Are you trusting in his holy word? Hallelujah. Thank God this morning that he is the answer of your faith, of your life, of your hope, and of your dreams. Trust God today. And as we go to a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, the word that she sent out was this. And it's a word from our word. And it's from King James. Romans 8:28. Whew, I love it. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God. To them who 8:28. And y'all know that is a favorite of mine. That's King James. And she said to have a blessed Sunday. That was yesterday's word. Sister Carolyn is on vacation, and she sends out a word when she can. So we will have another word from our sister in Christ on tomorrow. But I just say again, as we go through this day, yes, God understands what we're talking about. He does understand the words coming out of our mouth. And we are grateful that when somebody says, what you talking about, really, we can explain it. Have a blessed day, family. As we pray out, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours today. Have a blessed and wonderful day, because God knows what you're talking about. And he understands the words coming out of your mouth. When you speak, and you speak into God, he understands. And all we have to do is listen and his response. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family, knowing that God loves you and he owns you. Have a great day. It is a wrap. Why? Because I got to go to work. Love you much. Be blessed.